Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 2 goes on to say this. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. But the one enthroned in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king in Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned. You rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Many believe that these first two psalms are an introduction to the whole of the book. And if we could, can we go to the next one? Because in Psalm 1, we see God's man. Man's experience of God. Someone who has come to know God, who is righteous, who is following God's way. And the Lord watches over him. The way of the righteous. In Psalm 2, we see God's king. God's experience as man. And these are the basic core themes of the book of Psalms. The core themes that our relationship with God and God coming down and being part of us, to give us a relationship with himself. And this runs through the Psalms. The emphasis, I suppose, in most of the Psalms is our relationship to God. Particularly the Psalms of David, where he's concerned about his relationship to God. But sometimes he bursts into praise about God's king, and God is king, and how God has stooped down to touch him. And to come to him. And so Psalm 1 is true happiness is in the way of righteousness. And Psalm 2 is true happiness is in the way of the righteous one. And you see how these point to the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. Because we come to righteousness through the righteousness of Christ. Because we have no righteousness of our own. And so if we read the Psalms in the light of the New Testament, the righteousness that we read about in the Psalms is the righteousness of Christ that he gives to us. And so these are the sort of basic themes of the Psalm. And Psalm 1 just reminds us, if we can go, of these three simple things we see, we observe, and all we're going to do is observe in the next 5 minutes or so. We observe the progression of association with sin. People who walk in the counsel of the wicked and then stand in the way of sinners and then sit in the seat of mockers. The picture is that as we walk through this world, we walk through counsels of the wicked. We walk where we become associated with and we rub shoulders with those who are sinful and those who are unrighteous. And providing we keep walking, then they may not have a significant effect upon us. But as soon as we stand and start saying, oh yes. And then when we actually go and we sit down among them, then we become contaminated. Like Martin Luther used to say, when he was thinking about his sin, he said, I can't stop the birds flying over my head, but I can stop them making a nest in my hair. I can't stop thinking about sin. I can't stop being associated with sin because I'm in the world. And I see people doing wrong things to me and doing wrong things to one another. And I see it all the time and I hear it. And I read about it. But I don't want to stand and take it in. And I certainly don't want to sit with them and be part of them. But it's easy to do. And the psalmist says, here's the relationship. We don't want that kind of relationship with the world and with the flesh and with the devil. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The ultimate separation will come when we delight in the law of the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm having my quiet time, it's not always a delight. Sometimes it's really a duty to read the scripture. Sometimes it's a delight to meditate. Sometimes it's great to produce fruit in my life as a believer, like a tree planted by the streams of water. But sometimes it's a duty. And I struggle. And then when you go back to the Psalms, you see that the psalmist used to struggle as well. They've been there before us. And they know what it's like. There is the ideal. Here is the standard that we're to meet, but we don't meet it. And then there's the ultimate separation in verses 4 and 5. Oh, not so the wicked. They're like chaff. They'll be blown away. They will. And then through the Psalms, when you read it, you'll find that the psalmist says, but the wicked are prospering, Lord. What am I going to do about it? But this psalm, this introductory psalm, reminds us that ultimately, the wicked will be separated. Like chaff, they will be blown away. They will be judged. And they will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. And the psalmist struggles with this. And there's no third way here. There's only two ways. There's the broad way and there's the narrow way. And the righteous man is on the narrow way that leads to life. And those who are wicked are on the broad way that leads to destruction. And Jesus emphasized this. And this way comes through the psalm. The word way, walking in the way of life, occurs again and again in the psalm. And Jesus takes up the theme. And he says, the way. I am the way. The truth and the life. And we see the care of the Lord. God still cares for those who have committed themselves to him. Even though things are tough. Even though things look bad. Even though the righteous seem to be under the cosh and the unrighteous seem to be prospering. But the Lord watches over the righteous and the way of the wicked will perish. This psalm's about relationship. Its struggles, its falling out, its healings, its blessings, its ultimate separation of those who are in Christ and those who are not. The second one emphasizes God's king. And it talks, and you observe again the futility of the nations. Why do the nations conspire? They think they can do something. They think they can oppose God. They plot in vain. And the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, his king. And they say, let's break the chains and let's throw off the fetters. It's very interesting how when people who don't know God think that Christianity just locks you up and gives you chains and gives you fettered, when you come to know Jesus, you realize that your chains fall off and you're free. You're free to obey. You're free to follow. You're able to follow. And here we see the futility of the nations who oppose God. And we see the rule of God's king. The messianic prophecy that the Lord has enthroned his king in Zion. And he said, you are my son. And today I've become your father. And I will make the nations your inheritance. Of course, the Jews thought, and they believed very much, and this was a progression of thought, that the nation was God's anointed one. The nation was God's chosen one. And in many ways it was. But they were also waiting for God's Messiah to come. Ultimately, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And I find the Psalms encouraging, because when I hear the news and when I read the newspapers, which I don't do very often, but when you read and hear things around us in the world, it's good to remember that the greedy bankers, the selfless killers, the extremist terrorists, one day will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. And that encourages me. Because that's what the scripture says, and that's what I believe. It takes faith to believe it when you see what's going on around us in the world. But the Psalms help us to see that. And he said, I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. And God never does anything without giving notice. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers. Serve the Lord with fear. Here's notice to quit. Here is due warning that God will bring this to pass. And these are the themes that run through the Psalms. As we read them and as you read them, you'll find these themes coming again. Yes, it appears that the nations are rising up against God, but God will bring them to heel. Relationship with God and God with us. And then at the end of the psalm he says, blessed are those who take refuge in him. Taking refuge means that we are in danger. We're in peril. It indicates problems, difficulties, hardships, stresses, strains, difficulties, pressures. And that will be ours. But blessed are those who take refuge in him. And you can almost get the parallelism from the last verse of the first psalm and the last verse of the second psalm. And a parallelism is saying the same thing, but in different words. And you find that going through the psalms. They often say the same thing, but with using different words. For the Lord watches over the righteous, the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. Blessed is he.